everyone, and welcome to WTBR 89.7 FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. My name is Donna Todd Rivers, and I'm your host this morning for the Morning Drive. Hope you're having a great morning, and you can stay with us for the entire hour. I have a very interesting conversation, and I'm hoping that you'll be able to engage with us. If for any reason that you have to go about your day, maybe you're on your way to school or dropping the kids off or on your way to work, you can always catch this entire show on PittsfieldTV.org. Just go in, push the watch button, hit Morning Drive, and you'll see this show and any other Morning Drive show that we've done. Well, this morning, it's a beautiful day, and I am talking to Mindy. Mindy, it's Miragelli?
Morelia.
I forgot to ask her before we started the show. I was so engaged with what we were going to talk about. And she is with Berkshire Camino, and I just find her story fascinating. And she's a member of our community, and I'm hoping that you'll find her story and what she does and how she wants to engage all of us just as intriguing and interesting as I did. So Mindy, the first thing I always like to do is talk to people who grew up in Pittsfield, because I did as well. And it's so wonderful that you're still engaged here in our beautiful community. So tell me a little bit about your background.
Yeah, so my family moved to the Berkshires when I was 3 years old. We came from Milwaukee, Wisconsin, and my father was recruited to work for a mail order business in Adams. And interestingly, on Route 7, when you're driving north and you're in Williamstown and you come to the section of the road where you've got Mount Greylock High School, Regional High School on the left, and then this open expansive view on the right, and the mountains that are part of the Mount Greylock State Reservation. My parents fell in love with the Berkshires right there on that part of the road. And they said, I've always heard this story over and over. Kids, this is why we moved to the Berkshires. So anytime I drive on that stretch of road, I recognize that. It's such a beautiful spot.
I have the same experience with that spot. I really do. It is, to me, quintessential Berkshires. Mm-hmm, it's just so incredibly peaceful. So yeah. I've had that same experience there. So go on. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I just had to share that with you.
No, that's great. That's great. Yeah. So of course, you know, we ended up, you know, landing in Pittsfield and, you know, just to be, you know, part of a little bit of a larger community, given that my family had come from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. So they were sort of used to being in a city of sorts. And so I had a great, you know, childhood growing up here, educated in the Pittsfield public school system. Yay. Graduated from Pittsfield High School in 1982. I'll share my age.
There you go. Be proud, girl. Be proud.
Now people are like, oh, okay. So now we know how old this lady is.
You know what? It's early in the morning. I don't know if people are going to be doing the math, but.
Right. But my father's job came to an end while I was, I think I was a junior at that time. I'm not sure if I was a junior or a senior. You know, when you're a teenager, the stuff that's going on with your parents is a little bit blurry. Mm. But my father ended up finding a new job in New York City.
Oh, wow.
And so we were doing you know, my father was commuting back and forth on weekends so that I could stay in school here in the Berkshires before, you know, relocating to go to college. So we literally moved. We packed the van the day after I graduated from high school. And that's the day we left.
Wow.
And I never, you know, I mean, I'm grateful to my parents that I had that period of time. I was able to have my whole senior year and, you know, graduation, but it was very abrupt to leave. And I ended up in the big city. I went to school on Long Island. I went to Hofstra University, and summers and winter breaks, I worked in Manhattan, and after graduating from college, ended up in the city. So I never thought I was going to come back.
I can see that.
Just had a, you know, my life went in a different direction. Married, moved to Arizona. I lived there for 17 years. And when I moved there, I thought it was paradise at first.
Interesting.
And I started having dreams about, in the dreams, I was walking down a street to go to get a cup of coffee, something you really sort of can't do in Arizona too often.
Interesting.
You have to get in your car usually.
Yeah.
And I was seeing green grass and flowers that were definitely not Arizona. And when I did end up back in the Berkshires, and I'll explain how that happened. And when I ended up back here, one day I was walking down the street. I was living in Lenox at the time, and it hit me that that was like, that's what I was dreaming about, like being in the Berkshires in the spring when the flowers are coming up. And I realized, you know, I feel like I was called to come back here. Like this really feels like my true home. Ultimately, interestingly.
Right, but I can appreciate that though. I think there's something to be said for our childhood and what we experienced through our childhood and those strong connections. And obviously, you had some very strong connections. But there's something about life in the Berkshire that's incredibly alluring. You know, there's something about it. I think we're a perfect mix of sort of that larger community, but not too big, you know, Pittsfield or even North Adams being, you know, it's perfect size for some people, but still has that sort of city feel. There's a lot going on, things to do. And then within a mile or two, you can be at the Pittsfield State Forest. You can be at the Greylock Glen. You can be at a fall, right? You can be at Wacona Falls. You can just be in all these wonderful places that are completely removed from that sort of feeling of a city or a town. So I think it's incredible. And what draws me, and I always said the Berkshires and Pittsfield will always be my home. And I think that's why. So you were gone for a while, but you came back to the Berkshires for a little bit period of time before you moved back permanently. What was that for and why?
My husband and I, my ex-husband and I split in 2009, and I had aspired to visit Kripalu Center for Yoga and Health for a number of years. And as many people do, I would pore over their catalog, you know, looking at all the programs and wondering, you know, when would I go? And the day that we made the decision that we were going to go separate ways, I thought, no better time than to finally go to Kripalu. And it was a very pivotal experience. I came in the fall, it was peak foliage. So, like, that got under my skin, right? And I just had a really amazing experience there. It was a program about basically finding your calling, or, you know, sort of helping people who were in transition in life, which becomes a theme for me. And to sort of abbreviate the story a little bit, I ended up having an opportunity to do some pro bono work for Kripalu. I was a qualitative market researcher.
Oh, that's interesting.
And so, you know, I just so wanted to be a part of what they were doing that I offered my services, you know, gratis. And that became a door opener. And I got to a point where I felt like I needed to let go of Arizona, let go of the house that I had lived in, and, you know, all this time as a part of my marriage. And I decided I wanted to go to Kripalu and be a volunteer. They had a program for many years where you could live at Kripalu and then you served the community in some way. And so I was able to go and do that. So I gave up the really, you know, nice, you know, 3-bedroom, 2-bath house in Scottsdale, Arizona, and moved into a bunk bed at Kripalu with
That's interesting.
20 women in the bunk in the dorm room.
No, I find that incredibly interesting, a really interesting part of your story, and something I wanted to share because it's so fascinating to me that when we're on a search for ourselves and what we are willing to do that. And that's a significant change from a life that we all predict as an adult, right? The 3-bedroom, 2-bath house, the
That's right.
professional career, to all of a sudden sort of go back to this environment where you just show up with you. Like
Yeah.
you just show up with you and you're with other people just showing up.
And I've come to realize that letting go is the big piece in this. You have to be willing to let something go in order to let something new in. And this has woven all through my story now since that time. It, you know, has led to the business that I founded, the project that I'm doing, and how I do it. It has to do with recognizing that there are times in life when you need to let something go so that you can let something new in.
Which is why I wanted to talk to you today, because I think it's an incredibly important message. So we sort of been hinting. So of course I haven't told anyone yet what your project is and what you do. I hope I've lured them into wanting to know more, right? They're hoping to say, what is it that she's actually doing? So why don't we just touch on that a little briefly right now? So you, after your stay at Kerpalo, really decided that you wanted to have some way to connect with the community. And how did you feel that you could best do that? What was your sort of vision?
Well, at that point, I had absolutely no idea. I just had some inkling that there might be a reason why I was actually here as opposed to somewhere else. And as the story continued, I ended up, working at Kripalu. I was on staff full time for a couple of years, and that job came to an end, and I had no idea what to do next. And so a couple of things sort of came into play that motivated me to take a very long, long distance walk in Spain on something called the Camino de Santiago. And I'm sure we're going to come back and dive into that part of the story, but I'll just say from having had that experience walking the Camino, which I've done twice, I ended up starting this project called Berkshire Camino. And the idea is to create a way for people to have a Camino-like experience, like what happens in Spain, here in the Berkshires, where you can take a multi-day or even a single-day hike in the company of others, where it feels really safe, where it's easy to engage in that, and helps you to step into this sort of mindful approach to taking these walks, whether it's in towns or in woods or a little bit of everything.
Let's talk a little bit more about that because I think it might be a concept that people don't really know a lot about the Camino walk, but a lot of people, the way people, I do have friends actually have done it, and they said it was transformative in their life. So it's nice to know that we here in the Berkshires, with your project, that we're able to sort of have some of that experience here. But can you share about your experience in Spain and what that was like?
Absolutely. So I went on my own. I spoke the minimal amount of Spanish. So I really wasn't all that prepared, and really, I'll be honest, was not much of a hiker prior to the time that I decided I wanted to go and do this. I mean, very casually, once in a while, I'd go for hikes with friends, but once I committed to this idea that I was going to walk the Camino and needed to be doing some training, then I really started, hiking a lot. And so I was learning the trails here, which ultimately became very helpful. Little did I know that that was going to be an education for me, for the groundwork for Berkshire Camino. But so I, studied up. I read, some guidebooks. I watched a lot of videos on YouTube. Followed some Facebook groups. There's a lot of Facebook groups about the Camino. So if anybody listening is interested in that, that's a really great resource to learn about what this is and how to prepare. And so I spent a couple of months doing that. That sort of became my job, right? And I went the first time in May of 2018, and then I went again in August of 2019. So 14 months later, I went back. When I went back, that was because I already had identified that I wanted to start this project. I wanted to do a little more research about it. So, and you get the bug. A lot of people who walk the Camino, like, they just can't, they like, things are not the same after you've done that. You just look at yourself differently. You look at the world differently. And for a lot of people who do this kind of walk, they just want to live that life where you get up every day, you walk, you go at whatever pace feels comfortable for you. You stop along the way and have coffee. You have pastries because you can because you're walking it up, right? And you finish your day, early afternoon, and do your laundry, take a shower, and just rest, right? Usually somebody's making dinner at the albergue, the hostel that you're staying at. Albergue is Spanish for hostel. And you get up the next morning and you just keep doing it. And it's like, wow, like you can let the world really disappear
It sounds so fascinating to me, and I know
Yeah.
it's been transformative for people who have done it. If you're just joining us right now, you are listening to The Morning Drive. My name is Donna Todd Rivers. We are coming to you from WTBR 89.7, Pittsfield's Community Radio. You may also be watching us on PCTV, Pittsfield Community Television, on channel 1301 on your Spectrum dial. And you can always catch up with this Morning Drive show if you missed the first part of it. It is a very interesting conversation. You can catch us on PittsfieldTV.org, or if you have to leave us, you can catch the rest of the show by just going to PittsfieldTV.org, look up Watch, and then go to Morning Drive. You'll find this show and any other Morning Drive show. So I'm on with Mindy Mc I'm going to do it again. Or say it.
Moralia.
Moralia. I don't know why I can't do that. I think it's the G in the middle that's throwing me up.
Yeah,
Moralia.
gonna make it silent.
That's
Yeah.
there you go. Now I've got it for the next introduction. Berkshire from Berkshire Camino. And we've been talking, first of all, this is a Pittsfield resident, which a local resident, which is always kind of fun for me to bring their stories to you. There's so many people in our community doing so many interesting, fascinating things and contributing to the health and well-being of our community, and Mindy is one of those. She has a project called Berkshire Camino, and she's been talking about how she got there and the journey that sometimes we all need to take to find our true passion and our true calling. And she had the courage to do that. We've been talking about her walk at the Camino de Santiago, right? Is that what it's
Santiago, yeah.
called? And how is your experience different the first time you went and the second time you went during those 14 months? You know, did you experience it differently?
Yeah, I mean, some things were obviously the same. I love dropping back into that feeling of just being able to be on the Camino and in that mindset and walking every day. And a lot of the fatigue and pain, because I dealt with a lot of fatigue and a lot of pain. This was, was not, I mean, this was not a smart thing for me to take on. It's not like I was this super fit, woman who, had no, health challenges. I did. So it was, my mother wasn't really thrilled that I decided to take this on, but, I did it anyway. I did my best. But the second time, I already knew the routine and I already understood the importance of walking your own walk.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's like there's a phenomenon called the Camino family. This happens often on long distance through hikes, whether it's the Appalachian Trail or the Camino de Santiago or other trails all around the world, where people will find their people and then they become a family and they'll walk together, or if they don't walk during the day together because maybe they're at a different pace, they'll set a goal to arrive in the same town and stay in the same lodging so that they sort of have their people, right? And I had a theory about that maybe that was a little bit fear-driven, that people didn't want to be alone. And so on my first Camino, I did my best to be friendly. I made friends, but I really didn't want to be a part of a Camino family. So I really rejected any opportunity that sort of showed up. And truthfully, I didn't have to reject it all that much. Like, I think it just happened that way that I ended up being alone because that's really the intention that I had set for it. On the second Camino, I walked alone for 2 days, the first on that, my first 2 days. Which was a little bit harrowing, actually.
I bet.
And it was over the Pyrenees Mountains, and I went the alternate route, which most people don't do, but I had calculated that it was less of an up and down. It was a little more of like rolling hills, like the Berkshires, like I was used to. And I thought that that would be better for my body, which was true. But I ended up completely alone because nobody goes that way in August. They go that way when the weather's too bad to go over the Napoleon route, which is one that goes up and down. And so I was like alone in like misty woods by myself at times and just really had to, just find safety within my own skin. And coming off of those 2 days, on the third day, then I instantly made friends with a couple of people and I saw it coming. I was like, oh no, you're a little vulnerable here. You've been alone and you want to be with people now. And so, sure, I'll walk with you guys today. And sure, I'll walk again tomorrow. And that ended up being both a blessing and a curse. And I did actually split from that group. I saw those people from time to time as we continued walking, but it put me in a position where I was walking a little too fast of a pace for myself, wishing to go further at that stage of the journey than I was prepared for. Because really, the way to do this is to start slow and not go as far in the first couple of days, and then you start adding on so that, maybe my first couple of days I was doing like 6 or 7 miles, and by the end I was doing 12, right? But you don't want to start at 12. And this group that I had bonded with wanted to do longer distances. And so I ended up in like re-injuring myself on those first couple of days. And that ended up being my downfall on that Camino. So it's funny, I always say if I'm coaching people, because sometimes I do that just like for fun, I'll coach people who want to walk the Camino de Santiago to be specific. And I tell them, be careful about making, friends and becoming a part of a group, unless they're really gonna, you're gonna be able to be strong enough to choose what your pace is and your distance, because you could end up injured. So yeah, that ended up cutting that Camino short. I was trying to walk 500 miles from a town in the French Pyrenees to Santiago de Compostela, which is a town in northwestern Spain. That's the end point. There's a cathedral there that everyone is walking toward. And I made it halfway. I was just really in pain and struggling.
So when you make it half,
And truthfully, I'm still getting over some of those injuries. So,
well, that's the piece, right? So how long, what is the typical Camino? Is it it's like, is it around 500 miles? And how long does it typically take people? And can you do something less?
yeah, you can't, you definitely can. So there are multiple Caminos.
Interesting.
There are dozens of them now. And more are being added. Back in the late 1980s, an organization in Europe, I think it was called, oh, I'll butcher it. It was like a cultural council, something like that. I know there's a specific name and it's not coming to me. And as the EU was being formed, they were interested in finding ways to create cross-cultural connection among the EU countries, and realize that bringing back these ancient pilgrimage routes that go back like to the Middle Ages or even before, right? Because the Camino de Santiago, the Way of St. James that I did, roots back probably to Celtic times. Like it goes back like 1,000 years. So they were wanting to bring these walking trails back, and they were creating signage and the infrastructure, the lodging, things so that people could actually, go back and do these walks. So the one that I chose was called Camino Francés. That's the one I've done twice, the French way. And the reason why I did that is it's really the most well known. It was sort of the first one to come online. In the early 90s, I think late 80s, early 90s. And so there's a lot of infrastructure and a lot of people. And being that I was going alone, it made sense for me to do it that way. It's sort of like the classic Camino. The first time I went, I didn't start in the Pyrenees because I didn't want to have to do that mountain pass. And so I started, 100 miles or so in. And I did make it to Santiago on that journey, and I took transport a little bit along the way. So you can do it your own way. There are purists who, say if you don't do all 500 miles, you failed. But I don't find my 250 mile walks to be a failure at all.
I don't either.
The fact that I was able to pull that off was, quite a miracle.
Yeah, I would think it. I mean, it fascinates me. This whole conversation, I'm completely in awe. And at the point where I'm listening to you so intently, I'm like, oh, I have engaged this conversation to move it forward. And I'm just completely, and I'm very seldom for loss for words. People know that about me. So I'm like, wow, this is, I'm like taking it in. And I bet a lot of my listeners are too, like, could I do that? Would I
Right.
be willing to do that? How would
Right.
I do that? How would it affect my life? Like, all of these questions are going through my head right now and through my heart right now. I'm like, could I do that? Could I do that? And
Right.
who
I
would I
didn't
be on the
think.
other end? Who would I be at the other end of that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I didn't think I could do it. I mean, I had heard about this from some of the younger volunteers that I met at Kripalu. And I thought, oh, that sounds fascinating. That'd be so wonderful. Oh, I studied Spanish when I was a kid. Like, maybe, wouldn't that be great? What a fantasy. But oh God, I could never do that. I'm not fit enough. I have, a lot of fatigue issues. I have a lot of joint and pain issues. And there's just no way I'm going to be able to do that, right? But then I saw a movie, which I strongly recommend, that's called I'll Push You. And it's about two men who actually were born in the same hospital, grew up as friends together. And in college, one of them developed a neurological disorder. And I think he's a paraplegic now. He may have use of his arms. I'm not entirely certain. But he came up with this idea. So here he is, wheelchair bound, can't even stand at this point, and says to his able-bodied friend, I heard about this thing called the Camino de Santiago, and I think I want to go do that. And his able-bodied friend said to him, if you want to do that, I'll push you, meaning I'll push you in a wheelchair. And that's what they did. And they had some sponsors who said, we will help you to do this, but this is such a fascinating story that you're going to be, creating, that you have to share this with the world. So we want to send a documentary crew with you to film it, which was brilliant. And so I, within, a couple of weeks after my job ended at Kripalu, this movie just like happened to be showing, I think, in Enfield. And I, you know what? I don't even know why I felt so enamored to like go make the
Drive.
drive to go do this. It was a one night only thing because it was supporting fundraising for the Muscular Dystrophy Association.
Oh, nice.
Right. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna go and do this. And I was so inspired. And they were doing Camino Frances, the one I ended up doing. And I thought, man, if they can do this, I have to at least try, right? Like, if I don't make it the whole way, I don't make it the whole way. Like, I have to try. And what I've really learned, and I bristle a little bit sometimes when I'm on walks, Berkshire Camino walks with guests, and they'll say, oh, did you do the whole thing? I know that their question is coming from the right place, right? Because it's what a lot of people ask. But like, what I really learned is it doesn't matter. It could even be for a day or a week. If you can give yourself that gift to drop out of society to whatever degree you want to, because I mean, it be connected if you want, but just to take that time out to be really present and to just go for a walk, like it doesn't matter how long that is. And so I brought that into Berkshire Camino, right? Particularly with our day hikes. I mean, we do multi-day hikes that really feel a lot like being on the Camino de Santiago. But even on the day hikes, you can give yourself that break and you can do it for 2 hours. You could do it for an hour. It's all a matter of mindset, really.
It is. And I'm so glad you brought up Berkshire Camino, because in the next half an hour, in the second half of the show, I really want to talk a little bit more about those opportunities that you're making available for folks in the Berkshires to have that time to get out and what they can do. But I do want to ask you one last question about your experience on the Camino. Is what did you learn about yourself? Did you see gifts and talents that you didn't know you have? And now you're like, oh, I have this sort of superpower or this part of myself
Yeah,
that I
thank
didn't
you.
recognize before.
Yeah. And thanks for calling them superpowers, because I totally relate to that. I tell people that I met more sides of myself walking the Camino than I had ever met before. And that's because for most of us, we spend the better part of our existence in whatever comfort zone we've created for ourselves. Not to say that every day doesn't have challenges, but We sort of get into a certain groove, right? Whatever our profession is, our families, our lifestyles. And walking the Camino pushed me way out of that, right? First of all, I didn't have experience as a long distance hiker. Being alone, I mean, I've traveled alone before, but this was, next level. And I had a couple of things that happened, which happened for most people. Like one day, I was supposed to stay in a particular lodging place that was not directly on the trail. These trails go through town, so often you'd get to a town and that's where your lodging would be. And this place that I had selected was off trail, and I didn't realize that I had to call to get a ride. And I ended up needing I couldn't figure out how to get there, and so I was trying to get a taxi, and I ended up standing outside for I think it was like 3 hours, quite literally, I'm not exaggerating, in the heat. I was a wreck. I was crying. I didn't know what to do. These taxis were just going by me. They wouldn't stop. And in the long run, I ended up getting some help from some other pilgrims who saw me, who I had met actually the night before. And they, accepting that help, was one of the things that I realized I needed to really concentrate on. Because if I'd asked for help sooner, I wouldn't have been standing out there in the sun for 3 hours.
There you go. I'm
I was
so
trying to solve it myself,
myself, right? And we all do that. I'm so glad you shared that. We're at the top of the hour, actually. So we're going to take a quick break so you can learn about our underwriters. You are watching The Morning Drive. My name is Donna Todd Rivers. You're listening to us at WTBR 89.7 FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. You're also watching us on PCTV, Pittsfield Community Television, Channel 1301 on Spectrum Cable. 1301 is your channel. I'll be right back in just a few minutes.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs. Greylock Federal, opportunity grows here, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
Support for closed captioning on PCTV is brought to you by the Feigenbaum Foundation, with additional support from the Pittsfield Commission on Disabilities.
And now back to The Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
And welcome back, everyone. Thank you so much for being with me. My name is Donna Todd Rivers. I'm your host for this hour on The Morning Drive. You're listening to us at WTBR 89.7 FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. You're also watching us on PCTV, Pittsfield Community Television. You're probably on channel 1301 on your Spectrum dial. If you missed the first half of the show, I'm going to strongly encourage you that you try to catch it. You can do so on pittsfieldtv.org. Just go to watch Morning Drive, and all the Morning Drive shows are there. It's been an incredibly fascinating conversation. I am talking to Mindy Miralia. I did it. Yay. If you missed the first half of the show, you'll know why I did the yay. From Berkshire Camino. And we've been talking about her journey over doing the Camino and how she has brought that experience into the Berkshires by setting up something called Berkshire Camino. But before that conversation, I had asked her just before the break about what she learned on the Camino and if she learned any sort of things about herself. Any sort of superpowers that she learned that she had that maybe were sort of hidden in her everyday life that we all kind of live. And there's probably talents and superpowers and things that we all kind of carry in deep inside. And our everyday life sometimes doesn't give us opportunities to see them. So if you want to kind of elaborate on anything else you learned about yourself, we'd love to hear it.
Thanks. Yeah. I'm picturing a day when I was early on my first Camino in 2018, and I ended up caught in a thunderstorm.
Ooh.
Yeah, and I was walking through, I think it was probably a vineyard. The Camino weaves through vineyards and farmland and towns, and it's not all that mountainous. I mean, you might have some up and down, but it's not like woodland, like what we have here. The majority of it is not. And so I was in the wide open in this vineyard, and it was raining and thundering and lightning, and there was no way to go but forward, right? Mm-hmm. And so I just had to coach myself, you know, just keep, you know, keep breathing, keep taking steps, you know, stay in your little bubble, you're safe, you know, mm-hmm. I just had to keep coaching myself. And of course, I was soaking wet by the time I got to the town, you know, that I was trying to get to, but I was safe. And it was really interesting for me to observe myself coaching myself that way. Mm. And the fact that I was like being really supportive and not like, oh, you're an idiot. What are you doing here? You're going to get hit by lightning. I somehow naturally found the sort of compassionate coach that was telling me I was going to be okay. And I just needed to keep going and keep breathing and don't stop. And I do that a lot now in terms of how I've learned to find that voice to coach myself. So that's one key thing. And then I'll just mention one other thing, which is I had this awareness that I needed to step into the light, into my own light. I think up to that point in my life, I was very comfortable sort of being just on the fringe, just on the edge. Let somebody else be, you know, the leader. Mm-hmm. Let someone else be in the light. You know, little on the shy or introverted side. I'm happy to sort of stay over here on the side. And I realized I was holding myself back from my potential. And so I came back committed to like stepping into the light, and Berkshire Camino has given me that. It's been so amazing, you know, starting, you know, this, you know, from scratch and all that I had to do to build it. And, you know, pre-Camino Mindy wouldn't have been able to do that. I just wouldn't have thought that I could. You know, it's like the parallels of what you go through when you go on a long distance through hike and then starting a business are actually quite similar, right?
Oh, it really is. No, I think it's fascinating. And what you learned about yourself in that, you know, self-coaching and sort of believing in yourself and pushing yourself forward, or realizing that you're not quite in, you're not giving yourself the permission to be, you know, more visible in the world, mm-hmm. to sort of let you shine through as an authentic self. I think those are things, I think everyone sort of struggles with that. And I think one of the things about everyday life and not taking a moment, you know, maybe not the Camino, because a lot of us couldn't or wouldn't even consider doing that, or couldn't do it for a variety of reasons. Right. But I think just having any kind of opportunity to step out of our everyday patterned life,
right,
is a chance to maybe hear some of those voices, or to kind of see those parts of ourselves that we wouldn't normally see, because life gets really hectic. And I'm sure a lot of my listeners, you know, and even myself right now, you know, after doing this show, you know, I'm going to step right back into my life, and it's a forward plunge into the day. It's really right. what it is. It's a plunge into right. the day and into the schedule that I've put together, and I'm sure most of my listeners, you know, they're probably doing the same thing, or, you know, they're maybe on their way to school or dropping the kids off or on the way to work. And as soon as they turn this radio off or turn this TV off, they're going to plunge into their day.
Absolutely.
And we don't have a chance to sort of have that time. I mean, you definitely had an extreme way to experience it. And I, you know, and for all of us in the community, I'm grateful that you did that, because you've now introduced an opportunity in the Berkshires for us to get a sense of that. And that's what the Berkshire Camino Project really is all about, what you're really trying to do.
Right.
So how do you think you can inspire others with Berkshire Camino? I mean, how does that work?
Well, when people come on hikes with us, and when I say us, that's because it's, you know, even though I'm running the back end of the business, mm-hmm. I have a team of guides who have been like little trail angels who have shown up on my path, which has been really amazing. And so we have this methodology that we use that I call the sacred walking methodology. Mm-hmm. And it's inspired by my walks on the Camino and what I learned from that, as well as informed by, you know, years of practicing yoga, my time at Kripalu, you know, work on, you know, self-development. And so I boiled it down to creating this experience, however long the walk is. It could be, 2 hours, it could be up to maybe 5 or 6 hours. On our multi-day journey, sometimes the day is even a little longer than that.
Wow.
And so there's a frame, it has three parts, and that includes setting an intention for the day, for the walk, walking at the speed of curiosity. That's sort of
Interesting.
my little tagline. I need to trademark it before somebody grabs it. Probably shouldn't say that on the radio and on TV. Letting something go, which is something that we had touched on earlier in the conversation. And so our guides facilitate this experience of doing that. The curiosity part is very much focused on being present and mindful to what's happening, right? Whether it's what we're sensing with our five senses or maybe memories that are coming up. Often people will have like something that'll jog their memory on these walks. As soon as we hear somebody say that, like we've got our ears tuned to like go at that. Like, oh, what was that memory? Like get people talking about that, as opposed to, swapping recipes or talking about politics or, things that are going on in their daily lives. Because we're consumed by that all the time, right? So we're creating this intentional break from that. And we tell people at the end of the walk that, this is something they can take home and use on their own. And I do this. If I go for a walk on the Ashuwilcook Rail Trail, which is right down the road from where I live, I do this. I set my intention, I walk with curiosity, and then I do the letting go, which is just something symbolic of letting go something that no longer serves me. For me, this past year, it's been a lot of worry. So I leave a little worry behind. It's like if I can lighten some of that, let that go, just recognize that that's sort of playing in the background. And that's really what people experience when they go on these walks with us.
I'm so glad you shared that because I have recently had an experience where I started walking with a group of women, and it's interesting, but everybody talks about their kids and their grandkids and we went on vacation, and I'll be honest with you, I stopped going, because to be honest with you, it was too much stimulation. It was like I was trying to be quiet. There, somewhere in my heart and my soul, I knew I needed quiet. And I wasn't, although I love the friendship, and I loved, and I love learning about their lives, and I would support them in any way I could. There was a niggling little feeling inside that I wasn't getting what I needed. And it was more than just walking a mile around a track. Like it was more than that. It was deeper than that. Like there was a sense of something deeper. And I think that's really what you're targeting, and that's really what you're getting at, is that sometimes we need that time to totally let it all go and find like-minded people. If we're going to walk with people, that we need to be with like-minded people who are going to respect that sacred space.
Just like if you go to a yoga class or a meditation sit with someone, you don't even have to be talking with them, but you're in community with them,
That's true.
right? You're showing up to do that activity together. And it feels really safe and supportive to do that. One of the real benefits of Berkshire Camino is that we're creating an opportunity, particularly for women, and I'll get even more specific, women like myself who are age 50 plus, who really crave that time and they want to go out in the woods, but they don't want to do it alone, and I don't blame them. It took me a long time to, build up the resiliency to go walk alone in the woods. And even though I do it, most of the time, I prefer to have somebody with me, because then you can just relax a little bit more into the experience. So when people join us, they don't have to figure out where to go. We've figured it out. They don't have to worry about navigating because we know how to do that. And there's a different way that a guest can experience being on that walk, being in nature, when they don't have to, do any of that, right? They don't have to be wondering, is there, you know, a bear around the bush, and, you know, am I making the right turn? And it's like, you can just be present. You can like actually be looking at the plant life and smelling the earth and just exhaling, right?
No, it's true. I think you even experience nature differently, because you're right. If your senses, if you're in tune with yourself, your senses are more heightened. If you're taking in information from other sources, like when you walk with a group, sometimes your senses are about listening to what they're saying, processing what they're thinking, you know, how are you going to relate? What are you going to say back? How, that's a whole different experience than sort of being in the moment. So I find it really incredibly fascinating. When you think about the folks that have joined you over time, is there any particular story or person or thing that sort of sticks out to you that you thought was, wow, didn't see that coming, and you saw someone sort of go through some sort of epiphany or experience that was, you know, you knew it was important to them?
Yeah, it's happened often. It's amazing. It's magical. And that's part of what, you know, keeps me, you know, continually inspired, because you never know, like, is, you know, you're meeting people and you, you know, for the most part, they're strangers, although more and more we're having, you know, return guests, which is lovely. But you just don't know, right? What's going to happen? Maybe nothing's going to happen. And sometimes it's really quite magical. So I can give one example, one story about one of our guides who's on the crew. Her name is Nancy, a new Pittsfield resident, by the way, just moved into her house last week. And she was, you know, a stranger who I didn't know, who came on our multi-day journey in 2022. And she was walking on Yokin Ridge, which is between Lenox and Pittsfield, on the way to Busquets. And she, you know, had this epiphany for herself that she was ready to make a leap and change her life. I won't tell her whole story, not appropriate for me to tell what her backstory is, but she realized she wanted to live here and that she needed to start a new chapter in her life. And she has since done it. And
awesome.
And I said to her right then, when she verbalized it, I said, you know, if you, you know, I think it wasn't that day. Well, maybe it was that day, but we had subsequent conversations as I was, you know, helping her learn about the Berkshires a little bit. And I said, listen, you know, Nancy, if you move here, you can join the Berkshire Camino crew. And she said, really? I can't imagine that. And I said, yeah, why not? Like, you've had the experience. Who better? She said, but I don't know much about the Berkshires yet. I said, yeah, but you've experienced what Berkshire Camino is, and that's where you start from.
That's true. That is so true.
And so she's a member of our crew and a very critical member of our crew. She's really been helpful to me in a way. So,
and thank you for that. Thank you. You know, another, I love that when I hear folks that fall in love with the Berkshires and decide to stay with us. Everyone, I just want to take a quick moment to remind you that you are listening to The Morning Drive. My name is Donna Todd Rivers. I'm your host for this incredible hour. It's just been a great conversation. Hopefully you're enjoying it. If you're just tuning in with us and you're like, what are they talking about? I'm going to encourage you to go to pittsfieldtv.org and catch The Morning Drive show there. You can listen to the entire show. Right now, if you just tuned into us, you are listening to WTBR 89.7 FM, Pittsfield Community Radio. If you just turned on your 1301 Spectrum cable dial, you're watching us on Pittsfield Community Television. Sitting with me is Mindy Marilla. She is with Berkshire Camino. The whole show has really been about her journey, first taking, I want to say taking a walk, but it's much bigger than that, on the Camino, really experiencing the Camino, and having such a life-changing experience that she decided that she would share some of the lessons and that she learned there by setting up something called Berkshire Camino, which allows Berkshire residents to kind of hike through the Berkshires and have that time where you're at one with yourself. And even if you are with a group or with a guide, you're still given permission to kind of be with you and to just take times. And you mentioned in the first half of the show a little bit about the three sort of prongs of people when they go on a walk. And I find that incredibly powerful. So the three prongs again are?
Set an intention.
Okay.
Walk at the speed of curiosity.
Mm.
And let something go.
Do you find that's hard for people?
Hard for them to do it?
Yeah.
Sometimes, we've observed that the letting go part universally is appealing to everyone. So if we have people who say, oh, I don't even know what you mean by an intention, or what am I supposed to be curious about? Like if they're just like a little like, well, I'm not quite sure. This feels a little woo-woo, maybe a little too like in the realm for me, and I don't go there really. Everybody relates to the idea of we're probably holding a little something, heavier, in our bodies and our minds and our hearts than we need, and sometimes we'll even say to people, maybe if you don't feel that there's something that heavy that you need to get let go of, sometimes it's just recognizing completion of something, completion of a project, completion of a cycle or a chapter in our lives, and just honoring that that's now done. And by doing that, then again, it opens up opportunity for new experiences, new energy to come into our lives.
What does setting an intention mean?
I thought you were going to come back and ask
I
that.
am, I'm intrigued.
Yeah, so an intention is like a point of focus, right? So a lot of people will say on a walk, I just want to be present for this, right? This is why they're coming. I want to be present. Or they'll say, I notice when I walk, I don't even pay attention to my breathing and I get out of breath, and I want to recognize that sometimes like I need to stop along the way, and will that be okay? And like when we hear that, we're like, yes, that's exactly what we want. We want you to notice that, oh, my heart rate's gone up. I'm gonna have agency for myself and ask for what I need, which is to take a break. So that might be someone's intention, because often what I've learned is that when people hike with other people, especially like maybe if they join a hiking group and those people are a little more active than they are, they can feel intimidated because they feel like they can't keep up. And part of it is they don't want to ask for the group to stop and slow down and let them catch their breath, right? We encourage people to recognize you need that. You need water. You want to take a layer off. You're feeling too hot. Like, take that initiative, take that control. And that can be pivotal. That can be, life-changing for people just to realize, oh, actually, let me recognize what my needs are. And it's okay for me to ask for that and to do it. And it doesn't disrupt other people. So sometimes that's an intention.
That is, I can see that being an incredibly valuable lesson. I can also see it being a lesson for those who have to slow down enough to accept and encourage and be with another person who's asking for help. I think there's a lesson in that as well, right? That, like, okay, I'm always walking ahead, I'm always moving too fast. I'm sort of not. So when someone slows the group down, or does that, maybe it gives you a chance to say, okay, I don't need to be at the pace I always travel at.
Right,
Maybe I
right.
can, right? Maybe I can be here to be assistance to someone else. So I just think the whole group dynamic of it is really kind of fascinating. And also the dynamic of what happens to you individually when you do this. So here you go, you've experienced the Camino, you're back in the Berkshires. I have to tell you how blessed we are that we have the geography, right? And the opportunities for you to pursue this passion of yours. Otherwise, we would have lost you to the Catskills. Right.
Well, I mean, I was, aware as I was walking the Camino, even that first time, wow, we're walking from town to town. You can sort of walk from town to town in the Berkshires. In time, it will be much easier to do that when Berkshire Natural Resources Council's project, the High Road, builds out to its full vision. There's one section that's open now on Yoakin Ridge, between Lenox and Pittsfield, and there are other sections that are coming online in the coming years. And in time, it'll be a web across the Berkshires of hiking trails that will connect town centers to woodland trails. We use some of what we use that one section that's open now, and over time we will align with that more and more as it makes sense. But it does enable you to walk from town to town.
I think that surprises people. I'm sure there's probably the majority of the listeners right now Did not know that.
Yeah.
Because when you think of the Berkshires, you think of all these towns sort of being remote and, you know, connected with Route 7, Route 20, like, you know, 9. You don't really think about that there really is a way to connect towns by these trails.
Right. And I've come up with ways to find sort of the back roads ways to do this. Like when we walk from Housatonic to Stockbridge, we don't walk up Route 7.
Right.
We're not on, you know, we're not on 183, you know, I've found, you know, some woodland trails, some beautiful country roads that feel like you're immersed in the woods, but they're quiet, you know, unpaved roads, you know, woodland trails. You know, when we do this in the Southern Berkshires, it's much more of that kind of experience. Mm-hmm. And it's not necessarily all woodland because just the way you're routing to get from town center to town center. There's another section that we do when we're doing our multi-day journeys that starts in Lenox and ends at the peak of Mount Greylock, at the summit of Mount Greylock.
That's fascinating.
Yeah. And that one doesn't literally go into the towns, although we stay in some towns for lodging, like, you know, we stay at Hotel on North, Pittsfield one night. So that brings people into the city center, into the town, so that they can, you know, experience a little bit more of what the Berkshires is all about.
What an interesting way to engage folks in the Berkshires. It's Berkshire Camino is an incredibly unique model to engage folks. And it really isn't just about folks that are hikers, like, you know, professional hikers.
Not at all.
Anyone can participate, right?
Right.
And residents, people listening right now, they're curious, can participate. But do they need a certain level of physical fitness? I mean, is there certain things that you suggest?
Yeah, I mean, on our website, we describe what the different terrain is for each route and what the distance and elevation gain is. So that's good information for people to consider when they're choosing, you know, a route they want to do. You know, like we do a hike at Pittsfield State Forest that has, you know, 1,000 feet of elevation gain, you know, on Mount Greylock, it's 2,000 feet. So, you know, that's, you know, a little more challenging, right? But as long as people are, you know, able to walk a couple of miles, they're probably in good shape to be able to do this. And even on the multi-day journeys where we average 8 miles and sometimes as much as 10 miles in a day,
wow.
When I'm talking with people in advance about, you know, whether or not they want to join this, we usually say, you know, if you can walk 5 miles, you can pretty much do anything. I had never walked more than 5 miles when I was training to walk my first Camino.
Wow.
And showed up in Spain and the first day I walked 8 miles.
That's amazing.
I didn't know I could do that, right? You don't know until, like, you do it, right?
Exactly, right? I think the other thing that really intrigues me about this whole conversation, and I hope folks have picked it up, is this isn't just about one piece of our experience as people or as humans. This isn't just about physical activity and taking a hike. This is about being completely present and balanced. Like, this is about not only your physical strength, but it's also about, right, what's going on mentally for you. It's heart, right? It's heart, head, and body, really. It's everything.
Right. It is. Yeah. It is. Right. Yeah. Our unique way of coming at it with the sacred walking methodology is what makes it that and what differentiates it from, you know, what maybe other, you know, hiking groups or organizations do. Yeah.
Yeah, no, it is pretty amazing. So right now, right now in the winter time, when it's there's not a lot of opportunities, right? Is it really just a spring to summer kind of event?
We mostly operate from May through October and a little bit on the shoulder season of that. And by demand, you know, by request, if someone asks to go in the winter, we will, but it's a different kind of experience when we're dealing with snow and ice and we just
don't and cold
as much cold. I mean, honestly, I don't like it. So
I don't either.
I shy away from it. Yeah.
No, I think, you know, the Camino obviously that you experienced in Spain and the Berkshire Camino experience here really is just about kind of letting go and just kind of getting away from your getting away from your routine, right? To experience yourself in the world in a different place.
That's right.
Would you really say that's what it was? If people asked you, like, why do this? What would you tell them?
Yeah, to take a little break from daily life, to connect to yourself, to mm-hmm. others, nature, and spirit. That's what I say all the time.
Yeah. And it can be really-
and it is significant, I think, that it's in the Berkshires, because, you know, by being here, there's first of all, there's just this feeling, right, that it's a little hard to put your finger on.
Mm.
But there is that feeling about it being this real grounded, you know, kind of place.
Mm.
And in terms of exploring with curiosity, we have so much interesting, you know, history and culture, and, you know, people are, you know, excited to learn a little bit about that. And that often becomes part of what we talk about as well when we're on these hikes together.
Well, we're right at the last minute. Mindy, how can folks get a hold of you? What is the best way and learn more about what you do?
Yeah, you can find us on Instagram and Facebook. I go a little bit quieter in the winter, but it'll start to get a little more active soon. Just search for Berkshire Camino and you'll find it. We have a website at berkshirecamino.com, and people are welcome to send me an email. Info@berkshirecamino.com would be great.
My goodness. Mindy, I want to thank you for your time today. It has been an incredibly interesting conversation. I hope we've inspired some folks to get out and give you a call and just experience that time and experience a walk in a different way. Everyone, thank you so much for being with me. You have been listening to The Morning Drive right here at WTBR 89.7 FM. I will be back with you on another day. So I hope you have a great day. Stay well and stay safe, everyone.